You're listening to Kapow, the pop culture podcast. Comics, television, movies, and more. If it impacts fan culture, we have something to say about it. And now, your hosts, Jordan, Cliff, and Seth.
Hey, everybody. It's Kapow, the pop culture podcast, coming back at you. My name is Jordan Lowe.
Cliff Barnes.
I'm Seth.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. Spring is almost here. Good movies are starting to come out. It's almost time for free comic book day. How we feeling?
Feels like it was just free comic book day a few weeks ago. Now it's back. It's back already.
Little disappointed there's no Marvel movie coming out, but
yeah, this is the first one with no Marvel movie.
Maybe that's why this year feels so weird, is because there's not the twin anticipation.
With the fall guy this year. That's
the fall guy, I don't think I've been to the theater this year.
What?
Are you not getting the movie pass again this summer?
I don't know yet.
Wow. Yeah. Not at all this year?
I don't think I have. There hasn't really been. No, okay. I don't believe so. Right.
I've been several times. Anyway, comics.
Well, first, it's not quite an anecdote, but I don't know what it is. And it won't be interesting to anyone but me, but I have a podcast, so I'm going to talk about it because I want to get it off my chest. I saw an article. They're still talking about Barbie, right? So there was some article that they cut a scene with reference to a Proust Barbie because they thought that reference would go over, like, the test audiences that went, no one understood the reference to French author Marcel Proust, which, you know, that's a very Greta.
Yeah.
Kind of reference to make. I'd heard the name. I don't know anything about the guy. So I'm like, that reference would have went over my head. So I'm reading the article and there's a couple references. I'm like, they talk about a Madeline. I'm like, what are they talking about? So I'm like, I'm just as dumb as these test audiences. So I click around and I Google a little bit and Wikipedia a little bit. It's like, I want to at least acknowledge of who this guy is. So he's the French novelist, wrote Remembrance of Things Past. And in it, has the most famous reference to his work. The character eats a Madeleine, which is a spongy cake dipped in tea. And the taste of that takes him back to his childhood. It like unlocks all these memories that he had forgotten, which is the end of Ratatouille. That was a reference to that,
right,
where the critic eats and, you know, is transported back. So Proust's Madeleine or Madeleine de Proust is a common French expression to refer to a sensory cue, a smell, taste, or sound, which triggers a long lost memory. So that's a literary reference and something people use before. And so, it's a phrase I'd never heard, but I realized it had just happened to me. I said, when I watched X-Men 97, I had this like weird reaction of like nostalgia. Like I almost started crying. Like I got super
Ratatouille'd.
Something happened to me. I got Ratatouille'd. I got Proust'd. So I didn't know there was a name for this phenomenon, and I learned it like a week after it happened to me for the first time.
Crazy.
I just thought that was fascinating
to
me personally. I don't know that anyone else will.
This happened to me not too long ago too. I think I'll have to think about what was it. Oh.
I know what it was for me.
What?
It was Lil Loggers.
I can't believe you found the commercial to that.
I can't believe I did either. Pretty sweet though.
Also, I forgot to compliment you. That was your best, like the image you make to share.
The cover image for the episode.
Adding that to the flood of Marietta.
Perfect timing.
The loggers on a log. Something else was water based.
Aquaman.
Aquaman. Yeah, everything we talked about was water-based. And you tied it together. It was genius.
Yeah, yeah, it just worked out. He's still thinking about it.
I quit thinking about it. I knew what it was. I was at a school for a basketball game a few weeks ago, and I had major, there was like some smell or something. I was instantly back at my grade school gym, like from when I was a kid. I was like, wow, that just was shocking to me how much I felt like I was there for a second.
Hmm.
Like, it's crazy. It's amazing how much it smells. I've been told that before. That's like one of the most, you know, really grabs you as a smell. It will really vividly put you there. Yeah.
For me, it was Wolverine in a flannel shirt. All right, so it's almost the end of April, which means it's almost the 1st of May. That's how that usually works.
Wow.
And with that comes Free Comic Book Day. And for all of the time we've been on air, I've done a Free Comic Book Day preview episode. Well, that's what this is, and you're here for it. How exciting is that? I'm going to give you a little taste of what to expect when you go to your friendly local comic shop on May 4th this year. The Free Comic Book Day. So this is the event. It launched in 2002. The summer, the same weekend the first Spider-Man movie came out. So somebody had the brilliant idea to movies were getting bigger, pop culture was being more and more influenced by comics, and they thought, let's jump on that train and get the word out to folks. So this was the easiest way to throw open the doors of the mysterious neighborhood comic shop and let you come in, check out what they have to offer, and get a little sample of some of the books that are currently on the shelves. We've been participating since 2006. I opened in fall of 2005, so that spring of 2006 was my first year, and I've been doing it ever since. And we got another big one planned this year. So I'll just get right to it. Every year they have gold sponsors and silver sponsors. So the gold ones are the books every shop participating will have. So whatever shop you have, even if it's not Asylum Comics in Marietta, will have these gold sponsors. Starting off with Disney has an Encanto and Turning Red flipbook.
So that's
one
cool.
One on one side and one on the other, featuring some new stories set in those universes. Popular film franchise. We've got another Pokemon book. Pokemon Adventures, Ruby, Omega, Sapphire, Alpha. I know what some of those words mean, but I don't know what they mean all put together. But I'm sure if your kid that likes Pokemon, they will too. And that one also features a Splatoon backup story in the manga style. Another gold book, Unicorn Crush. Another Phoebe and her unicorn adventure. I know Jesse Starcher knows that book. He did an episode of Source Material on that, and the author, that was one he did with his daughter, and the author listened to it and commented. This is now one of, like, the best-selling books right behind Dog Man in the way. Like, she's a hugely successful author. We were there from the beginning. We knew all about. We've got Witches of Brooklyn coming out from Random House. A magical new story plus activities. Looks like it's got a maze. It's got quizzes. That looks like fun. Johnny Quest. Remember Johnny Quest? He's back. Race Bannon. All new adventure. Dynamite. Rated T for teen. So might be a modern Johnny Quest. All right, we got a Hellboy and Stranger Things one-shot. Not a crossover, just two stories. So, and this one, Hellboy consults a fortune teller in the first story. And in the second one, Jonathan and Argyle swap scary stories at the pizza shop. So if you're a fan of the Stranger Things, you get a little taste of that in the books. Boom Comics has the Worlds of James Tynion IV. So this guy's like the best-selling author of horror and sci-fi books right now. He got his start at Boom. So this was 10 years ago. He had the book The Woods and Mimetic, which kind of put him on the map. And then it's the fifth anniversary of Something is Killing the Children, which is huge bestseller horror book. So they're kind of celebrating his career there. IDW has a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles comic. Two all-new stories and a preview of some of the next upcoming things. And the first appearance of Night Watcher, a new vigilante in the TMNT universe. So if you're a first appearance collector, you might want to grab that one because it's a brand new character. This might be the biggest one this year. The Energon Universe Special. This is Image and Skybound. We've got three stories in it with the all set in the connected Energon universe. So the main one's a Transformer story from Daniel Warren Johnson and Ryan Ottley, who is the Invincible artist. So imagine the Invincible art with a whole bunch of robots. Oh, we got a two-page spread of Optimus fighting Megatron. Like, that's fun stuff.
That's a good place to start.
Yeah. And then backup stories from Robert Kirkman and his Void Rivals book. And then Joshua Williamson and Jason Howard with the G.I. Joe book. A little short story with Duke with a really cool moment I won't spoil here. But get that one. Marvel has two of them. There's a Ultimate Universe and a Spider-Man one-shot. We've just launched Ultimate Spider-Man, Ultimate Black Panther, and Ultimate X-Men, with the Ultimates just soon to come out. So this is kind of giving you a taste of that universe as the Ultimates are recruiting some new members. And then a Spider-Man story tying into the current continuity. And their other one from Marvel is Blood Hunt and Uncanny X-Men. So there's a horror event about to start where the Marvel Universe, the sun goes out, basically. The dark dimension, like what Cloak goes into, like that spills out and covers the sun. So vampires have a heyday. So this is kind of kicking that off.
Okay.
For the vampire story. And then all the X-Men books are rebooting this summer. And this is giving you a taste of what you might find in that. All right. So those are all the gold sponsors. If you go to any shop participating, they'll have those. So I'll just give some of the other ones. There's a ton more. I won't go into all of them. But DC, their big book is Absolute Power Special Edition. This is Mark Waid and Michael Janin. It's a big summer event. Suicide Squad, Amanda Waller has been pulling some strings for the last several miniseries that's been going on, from Dark Crisis to the Brainiac Invasion storyline. So this is where it all kind of pays off. So that's brand new story in continuity, setting things up. There's been rumors it's some kind of sequel to Zero Hour or some kind of follow-up that Mark Waid did 30 years ago with all the Zero Hour stuff, but that's unconfirmed. There's nothing spoiled. That's the internet rumor. And for the kids, there's a Barkham Asylum. It's your favorite DC villains as pets locked up in Barkham Asylum. That's a new graphic novel coming out soon. You can get the first chapter of that. Or how about a Mad magazine? DC publishes Mad now, so they're going to give you a sample of some of the comedy you can find, more of the superhero side of things. So those are the DC offerings, and then some of the other silver books. Marvel has a couple other ones. Marvel Voices, one they put out every year with the minority characters, LGBTQ characters, shine the spotlight on them. This one has an X-Men story, Spider-Gwen, Web Weaver, the Spider-Man of Mumbai, and the Last Black Panther. I don't know what that means, but that sounds pretty ominous. We got a Spidey and His Amazing Friends for the youngest of the young readers. Marvel's also got a couple Star Wars. We got a Star Wars story. This one's pretty good. They have to return to Echo Base. They got there are some rebels stuck on Hoth after all these years. Like, they never got off Hoth, so they have to go back to Hoth and rescue some rebels. And a backup story with Darth Vader and Sabe, is that her name? The handmaiden?
Oh, yes. From Naboo.
Who looks remarkably like his lost lady, so Darth Vader has a soft spot for her. And again, for the young readers, we've got Young Jedi Adventures, the kid-friendly one, with backup stories of plants versus zombies. And then some other stuff. Maleficent from Disney. Monster High, based on the dolls. Conan the Barbarian and the Battle of the Black Stone. Doctor Who, starring the new 15th Doctor. Flash Gordon. How about that?
That looks pretty cool.
Yeah, it's kind of a modern take on Flash Gordon. Gatchaman, the famous manga.
Really?
Investigators, The Loud House, Snoopy. Archie Horror presents The Cursed Library. So all those Archie Horror books they've been putting out for 10 years, they're kind of saying they're all connected. It's all somebody's fault. So this is Jinx. What's her name? Jinx Holiday has a library full of cursed tomes. So that'll help you tie in all those Archie books.
What about Heather? She's a librarian.
You know, I was thinking of starting a library. That's what you can find and more. Go to freecomicbookday.com. There's a website that has samples of everything, some previews. You can make a list ahead of time if you're that kind of person that wants to know what you're looking for. Or just show up and browse, see what strikes your fancy.
Remind me of how the free books work and how many you can get.
Well, every store will have different policies, but at Asylum, we do 3 free books. So anybody who shows up can grab 3 of them. But we also do we collect for the food pantry. So if you bring a $1 donation or a non-perishable canned food item, for every one of those you donate, you can grab an extra book. So you can get as many as you want. You just got to donate a little bit. And then we send that to the Tri-County Food Pantry at the end of the day. So we usually have a nice little haul for them.
Mm-hmm.
You can take home a nice little haul of comics, and it's a good day all around.
Yeah, because out of that, what you just went through, I was like, oh, there's more than 3 books that I want. So definitely.
Yeah, it's a pretty good year. There's some good stuff. It's not all reprints. Sometimes there's some,
yeah.
You know, if you're already got a pull list and you're getting tons of books and, you know, I've already got most of these. But now there's some incontinuity stuff. There's some classic stuff. There's stuff for youngest readers. So it's fun. We're going to do some discounts. Like, we usually do half price back issues, and we do some discounts on toys and trades and stuff. We don't have as much space as we've had in years past because we got a new neighbor and we can't get access to the back room this time. But we're going to put some tents out front and see what we can do. If the weather holds out, we can maybe play some cornhole or do something outside.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I'm ready. Can't wait.
All righty. Hope you enjoyed that. Hope you hit your local comic book store and bring the kids. The day is all about the kids. Kids don't always get a chance to get out to the shop. They don't, you know, the comics aren't in the 7-Eleven spinner racks anymore. So you got to take them somewhere to find them. And this is a great day to start that tradition with your kids, your neighbor kids, your grandkids, your nieces, your nephews, whatever kids are in your life. Bring them by. All right, does anybody have any comic news? Any comic-centric stuff to talk about?
I don't know. I've been reading stuff, but I still got to pick up more. Yeah, I've been down there for a couple weeks. Got to finish off some series, and I know, but I'm still got that shield on my brain. Got all these Comic Cons coming up this summer, and they keep adding names. And Heroes Con is getting ridiculous with how many people are going to be there.
Really?
Yeah.
And that's the one in North Carolina.
Yeah.
Yeah. You didn't go to Heroes last year, did you?
I think I did.
Did you go last year?
Maybe I didn't. No, maybe I did.
Before you had the shield, though, I think it was.
Yeah, I didn't. Yeah, I've only been to Columbus with the shield.
Mm-hmm.
So it's gonna be crazy. I changed my who's living in my head rent free from the shield to just Brett Breeding, who signed so big on there. So my
Breeding could, like, sign inside his signature. Like,
yeah, Brett Breeding is my biggest regret in life at this point.
That's so funny. He was the one I missed in Columbus somehow. Yeah. I don't know how. By the time I realized where he was, I kept going back there, and he was never in his booth.
Dan Juergens signed big. He commented on it. I said, yeah, but he had a run on Cap, so maybe he thought he could get away with it. He's like, oh, okay. I said, just sign how much you feel you contributed to Cap. And he signed, like, an enormous signature, just like, that guy's ego must be so big. Like, I really have a thing against him. And I went there basically to get his signature because my favorite comic, Thor 390, he was a big part of Cap picking up the hammer. And it's like, he just left a bad taste in my mouth. After us having that conversation, and then he did it.
Yeah, so it was your first. It's not like you have 200 signatures already on there. Like, it was still a kind of a blank canvas. So you're thinking far into the future, or he's just thinking in the moment.
Oh, like, definitely. He did not give a shit about me. He was just like, I want everybody that sees this to see my name. It's like, that's okay.
Wow.
I don't know if he knows. Boy, his worst nightmare. We have a podcast. I'm going to blow this guy up all the time. Oh, my gosh. Dozens of people are going to know about this.
Dozens of people, yes. Oh,
well, the real controversy in the comics world recently is a little weird. They're adding Roy Thomas officially as co-creator of Wolverine. Yeah.
I was kind of one reason I definitely am going to Heroes Con is because I wanted him to sign the shield, and he's kind of sucked a little of the life out of that.
Wow.
So starting with the credits to Deadpool and Wolverine, the movie, this will be the first time he'll be listed alongside Len Wein and Herb Trimp, or Trimpy. I've never quite known how to say that. So they were the writer and artist on Incredible Hulk 180. And then costume design by the art director, John Romita Sr. So those three have always kind of been credited. And, you know, they are the fathers of Wolverine, where Roy Thomas was the editor at that point. So he has claimed for decades that he came up with the idea. Quote, I had four requirements for the character, that he be named Wolverine, be Canadian, be fierce, because Wolverines are fierce creatures, and that he be short, because superheroes are usually tall. So his recollection, and it's a little convenient, everyone else is dead, so he's the only one left who was in the room at that time. So he said, those four things make me a character. So these other three creative dudes went out and created him and have, for all this time, been credited as, these are the creators of Wolverine. The never before has an editor gotten that nod, because, you know, that's the editor's job, is to work on stuff, and, you know, they bounce ideas back and forth.
The Mad Men meme, that's what the money is for.
So yeah, every editor has had input, you know, and decide on costuming and origin stories and the characters' names, even, I'm sure, but they never get the black and white credit for it. So there's people that think this is kind of slimy, like, oh, how dare he horn in for credit. He's saying it's not about the money. He doesn't want financial credit. He's always felt he deserved, you know, some recognition for it. So I don't know. The internet was a little torn up about it. I think most comic people are very pro creators' rights and thinks, you know, there should be more compensation and more recognition for these guys. Then all of a sudden it's like, not this guy. He doesn't deserve any more. He has already got enough.
I'm on the fence about it. I get, like, I know. I mean, there's definitely people on each side of the line just vehemently, you know, pounding their debt. Mark Waid thinks he's a slime ball for this, and I'm just like, but still, if he contributed to like staples of that character, you know, should he not? Did he not? Whether he was paid or not, they were paid. You know, it's like, did he help create the character? You know, it's like it take, you know, maybe not one or two people did this. You know,
yeah.
It's like, it's just the slimy part is waiting till they are dead,
right?
To suddenly claim that you want some credit. That's the slimy part.
But that's so complicated in comics, though. Yeah, okay. Siegel and Shuster created Superman, but the last 80 years, people have been adding to that, and you know, the Superman we know today is not that Superman from 1938. The radio show introduced kryptonite and all these concepts, and like John Byrne introduced all this stuff in the 80s. Like it's hard to just say comics, because comics is such a collaborative medium. So I don't know. Adding another name to the list doesn't make it, none of them are getting paid anyway. Like these movies make $1 billion, and the people who created them barely make anything. So that's the real injustice. If you just want to add another name, I don't see the point. But I know Len Wein's widow has been very hurt by that, because that's his kind of signature creation, and they feel that's kind of trying to take the spotlight away from him and what he did in his career. So I get the argument on both sides, but I'm not too fired up.
There's worse.
Well, sure, but it does remind me a little bit of a, you know, like an office situation where if you've ever been part of a team or come up with an idea and then, you know, ultimately your boss or management takes credit for it, you know, it tends to ruffle some feathers, you know, looking at it that way. But yeah.
Shut up and draw Kirby.
But yeah, none of this stuff was written down. None of this stuff was ever put in a contract. None of it, you know, it was all just guys in an office shooting ideas back and forth. Like, could be dozens of hands worked on this stuff. And you'll never know. It's always faulty recollections of people. So I don't know. It's a little crazy. The other news just came out. They announced Aliens versus Avengers in July.
I saw a cover for that today that was cool. Like, it was pretty.
It's pretty cool. It's Jonathan Hickman and Asad Ribic, who are really great creators. So this, we already had Predator versus Wolverine was the first kind of crossover with these Fox characters, and that ended up being a good story. It was like it traced like basically the history of Wolverine. This Predator has been bugging him. Like he got defeated as a young Predator back, you know, Wolverine's from, you know, Civil War era or whatever. So this Predator keeps coming back to Earth at different points in Wolverine's history in some of these key moments, and they have these crazy battles. So that was a pretty, you know, it's a little gimmicky, but that it ended up being a good story. So what could Aliens versus Avengers be? Who knows? But
I don't know. Drop some crisscross action here. That is, has the Archie gang, the Riverdale gang, in the comics ever? I know they fight Predator.
They fought Predator twice. There were two of those. They even had a sequel.
Oh, see,
God, episode so by of the Riverdale. Avengers auto,
the Avengers can now Avengers fight Archie.
I want Archie versus the Avengers. Sign me up for that. I would freaking buy that. Buy you out of stock. I want to see that cover. I want like the whole alphabet of variants. One A, one B. I want them all.
A couple of recommendations. We just had the X-Men 97 miniseries just started. It's going to be a 4-issue series. It's the official prelude to the show. So this kind of sets up. They worked with the showrunners and the writers of the series to kind of so they could pepper in some plot points that they can set some things up for what's actually going to be not just this season, but in future versions of the show. So it's, you know, they do a lot of these kind of cartoon tie-ins, but this one supposedly has important plot points between the end of the, of course, you know, there's been a gap between the end of the original series and the start of this new one. My favorite thing lately has been John Constantine Hellblazer, Dead in America. It's the Black Label series. Cy Spurrier and Aaron Campbell had a Hellblazer series right before the pandemic. that got canceled way too soon as things were kind of shaky.
I remember you talking about
back then. So that's like one of my favorite runs in a long time, and it was really excellent, and it just got canceled kind of unceremoniously. So fans, you know, let DC hear it, and they brought him back and let him do some more. And this series, it's picking up after the last one left over. They have to flee England, so they're in America, John and a couple of his compatriots. And he runs into Morpheus, the dream from Sandman. And it ties back into when John, you know, back in the first couple issues of Sandman, where he loses his pouch of magic sand and John has to help find it. Mm. Well, there's still some grains of sand missing, and they're somewhere in America. They're causing problems, and he has to get Swamp Thing's help. So this feels like classic Vertigo, which we have not had. Vertigo's not been around for years, and a lot of these characters have been a little dormant. So having them all like in the same book, you know, interacting with each other, just is, speaking of nostalgia, that's bringing me back to those classic Vertigo years. So I'm really enjoying that one.
What's that smell like?
Yeah, sand. It smells like swamp. Sand. What's I saw there's, I saw where they added, I don't know how to say his name, Patrick Olaf or Olaf, I'm not sure, to Heroes Con. And I saw when I was looking to see, because I know he did like Untold Tales of Spider-Man and stuff. He drew some of that, which I always thought some of those were cool. But the, I guess they did some, him and somebody else did like a mini series a few months ago, or like sticking in stuff in the in between spots of the original Secret Wars. I never heard anything about that.
Yeah. It was, there's literally a panel in Secret Wars. They get back from a battle and go into their bunker or whatever. And Reed Richards is like, it's going to take some time to analyze this. You might as well go get some food and have a rest. And then Spider-Man goes and like makes a sandwich or something. So literally between those panels, as Spider-Man's going to make us a sandwich, he gets kidnapped and like all this crazy stuff happens. And like they work in some characters who weren't in the original Secret Wars. Like they weren't taken in the back in the 80s. Like, whoa, they were actually on Battle World. So it was kind of like a secret side mission. And then at the end of it, he comes back like, oh, I got to get that sandwich. It's like, come on, guys, let's go. So it jumps right back into the original. So, yeah, they slotted it in literally between two panels in the original.
Nice. Yeah, that's kind of funny.
Another couple of indie-er titles. Feral from Image Comics. This is Tony Leakes and Trish Forstner created Stray Dogs. So this one was kind of a big hit when it launched. The pitch was always, it's like All Dogs Go to Heaven meets, you know, some, what's that? Serial killer. Hannibal Lecter.
Mm.
Silence of the Lambs. That's a very fancy movie. Yeah, so it's like All Dogs Go to Heaven meets Silence of the Lambs. So it was a story about a serial killer who was murdering people and then, like, takes their pets. But it's from the dog's point of view. So these dogs are like, hey, it's a new dog. Hey, how are you? Where's my owner? I haven't seen him in a while. So like these dogs, something starts dawning on these dogs. Like something bad is happening. All our owners are disappearing. So, but it's drawn in a super cartoony style. It looks very Don Bluth, like,
yeah.
You know, real clean, beautiful, animated looking art, but in a kind of a dark horror twisty way. So that was Stray Dogs a couple years ago. Well, then he can't let a good concept go. So Feral. This is about cats. There's these three indoor cats who get stuck outside as there is an outbreak. It's kind of like a zombie movie this time where people are getting rabies. So other cats are like, you know, when an animal gets rabies, they start acting weird and more aggressive. So in the cat world, you know, running onto some animals with rabies would be like trying to survive the zombie apocalypse. But again, that clean, cartoony style, you know, cute, adorable cats fighting zombified forest creatures. So that's a fun one.
Well, I'm sure we mentioned before, but that Beneath the Trees Where Nobody Sees, is that what it's called? Beneath the Trees Where Nobody Sees.
Yes.
I love that series. Do I have a new issue down there? Or is there,
I think there's been two something? Of them in your book.
Oh my gosh. I love that. I love that book. Like,
that was only five. That's only five issues. I'm surprised it's
total.
It's so short. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. That makes me mad now. Cause it's good. Like, I think I've read three issues and they were great. It was really good.
And I it's can like imagine that, it, them doing more. It has been a big enough hit. I can see them.
Yeah, that's
back.
The one. If you know, to remind anyone, the anthropomorphic animals in like a Richard Scarry, drawn city, and one of them's a serial killer. It's pretty freaking cool.
And last but not least, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles: The Last Ronin 2. Re-evolution. So The Last Ronin was the biggest hit going last couple years, and they're going back to it, having a sequel to it. At the end, they introduced, because this is set in the future, so they introduced four new turtles that April and Casey's kid is training. So this is kind of jumping even a little further into the future, and the, you know, after they save the day in the first one, there's just some bad stuff going on after, you know, with the power vacuum of the Foot Clan leaving New York. There's some other bad dudes that need taken care of, and we've got these four brand new turtles doing it. So that's a, it's been a fun series. We got the book scan numbers are out. We're not going to get into it this episode, guys. Sorry. Sorry. All right. You're going to have to come back for that.
Gosh, talk about a cliffhanger.
Mm-hmm.
But that was one of the things. IDW had one of the better year of all the, you know, traditional comic shop publishers, based solely on Last Ronin. It sold so well that, like, it bumped all of IDW's numbers up. They look a lot better because of this one title. So yeah, it's a bona fide hit. I've had to restock probably 10 times. I had to keep reordering that book because it keeps selling. So yeah, I think they can do sequels to that. That'll be exciting. So,
well, they're doing a movie, right?
That's right. They announced an R-rated
adaptation
of The Last Ronin, live action.
Mm.
So
I hope that the turtles look exactly like the live action turtle movies.
That would be amazing.
I know. That's what I'm saying. That would be maybe so freaking cool.
Some new Vanilla Ice music.
Yeah. Just do it. Just make it super dark and totally that aesthetic.
I would be there day one for sure. All right, that does it for this one. That does it for comics. We will see you soon, and we'll see you on Free Comic Book Day, May 4th, Asylum Comics, 212 3rd Street in Marietta, Ohio. Hope you enjoy. My name is Jordan Lowe.
May the 4th be with you, Cliff Barnes.
Seth, bye forever.
Bye forever.
Forever. May the 4th ever.
Kapow, the pop cultured podcast, is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. Sounds, music, and clips played during the podcast are property of copyright holders. All original content is property of www.udamwithkpp.com. If you enjoyed this podcast, please subscribe and leave a comment. Kapow, the pop cultured podcast, can be found on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Podbean, Spotify, and wherever podcasts can be found. You can connect with us through social media on Facebook, YouTube, at the Kapow Podcast on Twitter, or email the show, Kapow, the pop cultured podcast, @gmail.com. If you really want to go the extra mile, join our Patreon at patreon.com/udamwithkpp for special content and access to Patreon-only benefits. We are grateful for anyone who chooses to contribute, but please know that most of our content will remain free. So please continue to like, comment, and share.